Well, we're turning this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, in plenty. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Now our text this evening is found in verse 6. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now friends, tonight we're looking at this text under the title, Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. We seek many things in this life. Some of us have spent our lives seeking something that's almost unattainable. Sometimes it's acceptance with those that would never accept us. Sometimes we spend our energy and our lives seeking popularity. For younger people amongst us, the social media is a great magnet so that you'll be popular. Others seek fame, to be famous. So others seek to be rich. Others seek to be famous in various ways. Sometimes the famous are rich as well. Sports stars, actors, musicians, footballers, whatever it might be. But tonight, friends, let me put a question. Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? The Bible tells us who, when, what, and how we should seek the Lord. Are we seeking things below, as I've listed out there? Or are we seeking the things above, as the Apostle Paul encourages us in Colossians 3 and verse 1? May this be a lifelong priority, to seek the Lord. This isn't just a once-only event. It's part and parcel of the desire of every person in the world. They want in some way to have some kind of God. And this word seek is very interesting, and we'll come to that in a moment. This chapter is a marvelous chapter. We looked a few months ago, or maybe it was last year now, we looked at the first part of this chapter and we saw something together of God's gracious invitation. And it's marvellous. Look at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come buy and eat. You don't have money, but there's no price. There's nothing you can pay for this. Where do you spend money? For that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not. Do you see what the Lord's doing here through his prophet? He's inviting people who are spiritually thirsty. who are spiritually hungry. And right throughout the world tonight, there are an awful lot of spiritually thirsty and spiritually hungry people. Then the Lord tells us what we should do. In verse 3, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. How can you incline unto God? You lean into listening to the word of God. You read it. You read it much. Do you remember, friends, when we were first seeking the Lord? Do you remember how we opened the Bible and some friend would come alongside us and say, well, you need to read this passage and this passage and this passage. Sadly, evangelism without the Bible leads to very little. It's just thoughts and teachings and ideas from men's heads and women's heads too. But if it's from the Bible, God says, incline your ear. How do you incline your ear? You bend it. You bend your ear to listening to God's word. You come unto him and he gives you a promise. Hear and your soul shall live. Then he speaks about one who will be raised up as a witness to the people. Is this Isaiah the prophet? No. Is it some great prophet in the future? In the Old Testament times? No. It's one who comes out of the line of David. But it points to someone greater. Somebody more wonderful. Somebody pure and holy and sinless. You see, we need to seek God. And then in verse 6, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Friends, this is an opportunity for us to turn to God, to turn to him and to seek him. Amos, another prophet, he's found a little later in the Old Testament. He's in that section, unfortunately, called for many people the minor prophets. There's nothing minor about Amos. He might be shorter than Isaiah, but his message is much the same. A message of call to repentance of an erring, sinning people. He says in his own prophecy, Amos chapter 5 and verse 6, seek the Lord and ye shall live. And then in verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you. So Isaiah is not picking up something novel, something new, something that the people had never heard before. He's just repeating the same message. Moved by God, driven by the Holy Spirit, to preach and to proclaim a message, yes, of salvation, yes, a message of hope, but also a message of warning. Seek ye the Lord while. We'll dwell on this in a moment. Can you hear the preacher preaching to an erring, sinful people? Can you hear him calling as God's spokesman? But can you hear this? Can you hear God pleading through the preacher? Can you hear it? Because that's what the people heard. And sadly, many of them rejected it. Seek the Lord. There's an urgency here. There's a time limit on this. This is framed in language that might surprise us. God's people, Israel, had forsaken their God. They turned their back on their God. And they brought in all kinds of other gods and goddesses to worship instead. They didn't destroy the temple. They just negated the temple. the temple where God had established that he would have his name remembered and the sacrifices for sin offered up in sincerity and authenticity. God calls his people back to himself. Did this change? Isaiah was preaching about 700 years before Christ came. No. It got worse and worse and worse. Here, God, the God of creation, the God of all power, the God who is invisible and yet the God who acts, calling his people back to himself. Now, the first thing is this. There's an encouragement to seek God. Now, when you read those words, what do you think? Seek ye the Lord. By the way, in the new versions of the Bible, they leave out a little word. Ye. Ye. Seek ye the Lord. In the new versions, sadly, I don't know why, they leave out that little phrase ye. What does ye mean? Well, ye is the plural of you. Modern versions usually have seek the Lord. And that might be all very well, until you see the personal aspect of it. Seek ye the Lord. What an encouragement. In Zephaniah 2 and verse 3, Zephaniah, another later prophet, says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. And you can read many of these occasions where this word, this phrase, seek ye, is found. This is a marvellous encouragement. Who should you seek? Well, the Lord. And of course, the Lord is saying here, seek the true Lord. Leave your gods and goddesses behind. Leave your idols. Leave whatever is more important to me and seek me. How challenging for a modern age when you don't need to have a little altar at home to be an idolater. All you have to do is consume your life with something that isn't God. You're still an idolater. Oh, you might be uncomfortable with that, says somebody. Well, believe you me, I'd rather be uncomfortable for a little while than be uncomfortable forever in judgment. Seek ye the Lord. We should seek the true God, the only God worth seeking. That's the implication, friends. And we might say, well, as long as somebody has some kind of spiritual experience, that's sufficient. The Lord would say no. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye for himself. So often people think they should seek God because of what God has promised to give his people. No, we should seek him for himself. It is amazing. It's extraordinary that we should ever seek God. But who began the work? He did. He moved us to seek him. Naturally, friends, we would never seek the Lord. Oh, we might seek religion. We might seek acceptance in the church. But that's not the same as seeking the Lord. It's extraordinary that anyone should ever seek God. You might think that's a strange thing to say, but it is. Our hearts are the complete opposite of what we think they are. Oh, we think their lives are so open to God. No. They're closed to God. Our minds. You might think, oh, we're having things, thinking and thoughts of God. Surely that's sufficient. No. Our thoughts are all manner of things. But God is seeking us. Seek the Lord. What kind of people should seek the Lord? Well, they're thirsty, spiritually thirsty. You might be thirsty on a hot day. Pity those in these places where 35, 40 degrees is commonplace. 35 degrees Celsius, of course. But we are all born spiritually thirsty. And we will all quench our spiritual thirst with something or someone. Are our hearts empty? Do we see the vanity of this life, as Solomon tells us to do? There's an emptiness there. There's an ache there. It's painful. And yet you don't have an answer for it. Well, you're thirsting for something. And God says, seek ye the Lord. But in context, and we miss this, friends, the Lord is calling his people to worship. Ah. We don't get that from the sense here. But in the original language, we're to seek God in worship. And you see how convicting this was for the people of Israel. Here was this lone prophet, maybe one or two others that aren't named, preaching this message of calling people to salvation and forgiveness and repentance. And he's saying, seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord, to worship him. And as I said, mankind, womankind, people are so adept, so skilled in making something or someone an idol of worship. God made us to worship him. Since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, we worship anything and anyone else. Men and women are gifted with this astonishing capacity to be their hearts to be a factory of idols. God says, seek ye the Lord to worship me, to praise me. And how should we praise him? In reverence, in humility. Not with a flippant attitude. Not with a casual attitude. Once upon a time, there was a preacher challenged by one of his congregation. She looked at him. She said, well, I won't tell you his name, but she said, Mr. or Sir, why are you so serious in your worship? And he says, ma'am, I serve a serious God. Seek ye the Lord in worship. Now, what an encouragement. And you might say, well, I didn't realise that I was worshipping something else or someone else. I didn't realise that I'd put something else in the place of God. Is it too late? No. This side of eternity, you're still the right side of eternity. You're still the right side of the river of death. Seek ye the Lord. Oh, can't you see his encouragement here? Seek ye the Lord. The second thing I want you to notice is the importance of seeking God and finding him. Seek ye the Lord. Does it say when he may be found? No. Does it say if he may be found? No. He may be found. That's guaranteed. The word in the Hebrew is while he may be found. And this is where some friends get very uneasy. While he may be found? While he may be found, there's a time limit on it. while he may be found, there's an expiry date on it. While he may be found, there'll be a time that he will not be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. While. Oh, if the whole of the people of the world were to realize there is a time limit on this. Seek ye the Lord personally. Address him in worship, but seek him while there's time. There are people in hell this very night that sat in pulpit, some who are preachers who preached, and some who sat under ministry, and they long now to say, while. It might be too heavy for some, but it's weighed on my heart all week. How do I communicate to dear friends that there is a limit? While he may be found. Let that sink in, friends. Some people think that they have all the time in the world. There was a famous singer who sang that song, "We have all the time in the world." He has discovered the opposite. He didn't have all the time in the world. He's now in the grave. While he may be found. Take these things too lightly today. We don't worship God as we should, but we even don't realize there's a time limit. There is a limit on this invitation. And you may think, well, that's when I die. But is it? Is it? Is that what Isaiah says? Is that what God says through Isaiah? Is that what the Lord Jesus said when our dear Saviour was preaching on earth? When you die, it's too late. No. The word in the original language is very sobering. There'll come a time when you won't want to seek the Lord. All of us here tonight, all of us who are believers, will know of others who once upon a time seemed to be seeking the Lord, and now they're nowhere. And that should break our hearts. And they'll worship anything and everything, and they'll replace and they'll claim that they're going in the right direction and they're happy. And they should have those words etched in their memories, while he may be found. Oh, the importance, friends, of seeking God early. Do you remember what the psalmist said? Says, seek him early. Psalm 63, verse 1. Of course, he was a believer. Proverbs 8:17 tells us to seek the Lord early. Daniel 9 and verse 13, we should seek the Lord in prayer. That's why we read Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear my cry. Because, Lord, soon it'll be too late. Don't wait any longer. Imagine there's a tourist, plenty of them around, But let's imagine a tourist in an unfamiliar jungle. Before they take a single step, their primary need isn't a map of every trail, but a reliable compass to show them due north. And in our chaotic lives, we rely too much on our own internal compasses to give us spiritual satisfaction when we need the compass of God's word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The importance of seeking God. Yes, firstly, we looked at the encouragement to seek God for himself, to worship him, to address him personally, friends. And secondly, we've seen the importance of finding God. Because this word withdraw, or this word while he may be found, implies there will be a time when we won't seek him anymore. When our hearts may be so hardened against him that we don't seek him. Or when he withdraws from us and there's no more opportunities. And if your heart's been moved recently and you've been reading your Bible and you've been seeking the Lord and you've been praying for forgiveness of sin, don't give up now. Press on until you know that you're truly the Lord's. But there's a reward for seeking God. There's a wonderful reward. Because when we earnestly seek the Lord, we will find him. When we seek the Lord with all our heart, we will find him. When we seek the Lord genuinely, not haphazardly, we will find him. When we declutter our lives, imagine for an instance an attic in an old house and it's full of clutter. And our job is to try and declutter that attic. Well, that doesn't sound too hard, does it? But imagine then we're assigned, when we finish that job, we're assigned the main room in the house. And we walk into this house, into this room, and it's full of clutter. It's so full of clutter you can't even see the furniture. It's all under this clutter. You can imagine the clutter. Rubbish. Old newspaper editions. 40, 50 years ago. Magazines piling up and moulding and corrupting away. You can imagine all the clothes scattered around. It's as if somebody has come in and just has tipped a whole house into this one room. And sadly, that's what our lives can be like sometimes. And what we need to do is declutter our lives and take away all those things that are hiding the room. Our hearts is the room. And seek the Lord. The reward is tremendous. God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. What does that mean? What does this word call mean? It means to speak out. It speaks of prayer. To address the Lord by name. Who is this God we're seeking? He's the God who's revealed in Isaiah. He's the God who's revealed in the Bible. You could pray something like this. O Lord God, have mercy upon me. O Lord God, be merciful to me before it's too late. O Lord, there's wonderful promises for those that seek thee. Our thirst will be quenched. Our hunger will be satisfied. We will truly know forgiveness for sin. We will truly know the Lord for yourself. And where can he be found? The reward for this seeking is incredible. But where will we find him? Well, in the Old Testament times, believers went to the temple. And they took their animal and they gave it to the priest and it was sacrificed on their behalf. Well, we don't need a physical temple today. We don't even need an altar. Strange things, these altars. Some churches still have an altar. Why? Well, that's another explanation that I won't go into. But we don't need an altar. The greatest altar of all was erected almost 2,000 years ago at the place called Calvary, where our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed on the altar of the cross. And if we truly are seeking the Lord tonight, the Lord will say to us, seek me at the cross. Seek me at the foot of the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless Son of God, gave his life for your sin. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It's to seek God for himself. Now, I have in my mind a young girl. She's grown up in a Christian home. She's heard the gospel. At church, she's been taught the Bible. And I can imagine her at night when she says goodnight to her parents, kneeling at the end of her bed, or maybe at the side of her bed, and praying, Lord, I'm seeking you. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, my heart is heavy, and I know I'm sinful. Now, she's only a little girl. She's not going to have a great grasp of all the truths of the Bible, but she knows this, she's a sinful girl, and she needs forgiveness. Will the Lord discover himself to her? Yes, he will. I have another older man in my head. Here he is. Life has been hard, as he might put it. But he has lived a hard life. He has sinned with a high hand. He has had no thought of God. No thought of eternity. No thought of heaven or hell. But watch him now. He's middle-aged. His eyes are bowed. He looks downward to the ground. He speaks with a sense of doom and judgment. He too had grown up in a Christian home. He too had heard the gospel. He too had been taught what it was to pray. But he's cast it all aside. He's living for the here and now. And he's no thought of his soul. Once upon a time, his heart had been moved. He had been challenged by the things of God. He had known what it was to feel deeply with it for his sin. But now, now it's irrelevant to him. And he knows there's something wrong. And he doesn't think there's any hope for him. Well, very well, we'll leave him there. Because it might help somebody to see that don't test God. And then I see, finally, an older man. He's in his 80s. He's had a long life. He has lived well. He knows that God has blessed him. He has thought long and hard for many years about seeking God, and secretly he sought the Lord. He's not resistant to the Lord. He's not hard-hearted towards the Lord like the younger man. He doesn't reject the Lord or even speaking about the things of God, but he thinks he's not worth it. He thinks he's lived too long in his sin, that God can't be merciful. And tonight the Lord says in this text, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. O Lord, our God, we're thankful for this evening hour, and we're thankful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that many more will seek the Lord before it's too late. And there may be some here tonight and some that we know, and they've been seeking the Lord, and yet they still, as it were, are conscious that they're sinful. Oh, that, Lord, they would seek the Lord and trust in Christ alone who died on Calvary's cross to save them from their sins. They would realize that in seeking the Lord, they're actually to seek Christ, because when they find Christ, they will truly know God. So bless us here tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.